Welcome to the Memory Distillery, everyone. I'm Anthony Verneri.
And I'm John Deck, and each week we will malt, mash, ferment, and distill our way through the spirits of our past in the form of long-loved movies.
And this week...
I'm just a sweet transvestite. Transsexual Transylvania.
Ha ha!
It's the first time I get to do one of those. We are watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show from 1975, directed by Jim Sharman. I hope I said that right.
It's one of my favorite Jim Sharman movies.
Oh, well, great. What's another one?
The Herbie, the Love Bug.
Oh, okay. I didn't know who directed that. Cool.
And Scarface.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's got a really... quite a varied really diverse, portfolio. Yeah, he's all over the place.
Really,
and Amistad.
Amistad.
Yeah,
wow.
But he doesn't, you know, get much credit for those.
How about that? You learn something new every day. John, when's the last time you watched this?
You know, first of all, I've never gone to one of like the midnight showings with all the interactive entertainment side of things, which to this day still hurts a little bit on the inside. But although I have listened to the soundtrack many times, it's been a very long time since I've actually just watched the movie, like just straight through and not some clips here or there when I'm in the mood for something wacky. So gosh, I had to be in college was the last time that I watched it.
Yeah, I think the last time that I watched the only times that I have watched this start to finish have been in those midnight showing scenarios that you described. Like that, it's a whole experience, right? Like there's the dressing up and the throwing rice and everybody's got lighters or flashlights, depending on where you go. Water guns, and you have the singing and all that other stuff, and people dress up. It's great.
Yeah.
I've never actually watched this in its entirety outside of that setting. So this is going to be a very different experience for me.
Yeah, I think we have, you know, are familiar enough and, you know, time has passed and you've already had the, you know, in theater experience. Like, I remember when I first watched this and there was all this hype and everyone's all excited about it because they've all been through, you know, the more of the live experience. And I remember just being like, oh, this is not a good movie. Why is everybody talking about why this is such a great movie? And I didn't get it at all. You know, I didn't get the campiness of it and the satire, and I didn't get the whole thing. Like I wasn't vibing it at that time. And, you know, since I've grown to, you know, appreciate it quite a bit, but, because it's been so long since actually just watching it, I'm kind of curious, again, you know, how am I going to react now? You know, 1000% different person. And I mean, I sing songs from this, so it's just like, I have a much closer connection, you know, for aspects of it, but, you know, just watching it, we'll see.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm curious to know how excited I'm going to actually be to like sit through it this time around. Cause I'm not, you know, I'm not in a theater at, you know, 12:30 in the morning under the influence and, you know, throwing shit at the screen and whatever. Like it's not, I'm out of my element with this.
Yeah. Well, you'll still be under an influence though.
That's true. I will be drinking. Although that's not the influence that I was talking about, but.
But that's why I said you'll be under an influence.
That, yeah, an influence.
So, yeah, I think this is, you know, taking a hard left turn from Adam's Family into something else that's really kind of fun in the season. And then we'll take another hard turn after this to kind of round up our Halloween series of episodes this year. Got some interesting stuff coming up.
Yep, we sure do. So we're going to go ahead and break here. We're going to watch this. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about it. If you want to watch along with us, it is currently streaming on Hulu. So go ahead and check it out there. Or if you have it in your personal library, you can get it from your personal library or from the various streaming rental services. You know how to get movies. I don't know why I keep telling you people how to get these movies. But go ahead and watch it along with us. And when we come back, we are talking the Rocky Horror Picture Show. John, are you ready?
I am indeed.
Then let's do it. Welcome back, everyone. John, you know, despite not being in that theater setting, this was still a crazy fun time watching this movie.
I agree. Like, I have to say, like, I never really appreciated this viewing, that thrill you get when Rocky runs up the steps in Philadelphia in the middle of that training montage, and you really get the feeling that, like, he's gonna make it after all.
Mm-hmm. Eye of the Tiger playing in the background.
Yeah, and or actually, it's not Eye of the Tiger, is it? Is it? It's the Gonna Fly Now, isn't it? I don't know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just watched this. Obviously, I'm not making this up, so it's shocking that I don't know the song to what I'm just referencing. And we're back.
Welcome back, everyone.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Absolutely, that's what I watched.
Rocky Five.
Yeah.
1000.
No, I mean, I agree. For the most part, I had a great time. It, like I said, you know, in the intro, it's been forever since I've just watched this as a movie in its entirety. But for the most part, I absolutely loved it. I think, just to get out of the way, I think towards the end it does kind of fall off a bit, the pacing towards
it slows down, right?
Yeah, it really does. And it's not necessarily bad, it's just it just goes on maybe about 15 minutes too long, I'd say. Like,
I had that same sort of feeling when I watched Full Metal Jacket. Like, all the excitement is around boot camp, and, like, that's where you have Gunny and, like, all the screaming. Yeah, or Stripes. Oh, and you have, like, all the real meat of the movie is in, like, the first act and a half. And then it just sort of goes on this decline, and it skids to a stop. But, you know, it's still good.
Speaking of the real meat of the movie, this is our second Meatloaf movie.
It is our second Meatloaf movie.
We've seen more Meatloaf movies than we have Tim Curry or Susan Sarandon movies.
That is very true. That is 100% true statement as of episode 78.
Yeah, I'm tickled by that, and I was trying to remember if I could recall any other actual Meatloaf movies without consulting the internet, and the answer was no.
No, cannot. His two biggest roles have been in Rocky Horror Picture Show and Fight Club.
I mean, he's like been himself in a couple of movies. I know, like Wayne's World, but like,
right. Yeah. But that was Wayne's World 2, I think.
Either way. Was it? I think it was the first one. Anyway, that's not.
Well, now I'm going to look it up and prove you wrong.
Oh man. Okay.
Meat Loaf, his Christian name.
It's spelled with a L.
Mm-hmm. Yep. L-E-A-T.
Yeah.
He was in Spice World.
Yeah, weird I didn't remember that.
And he was in the first Wayne's World, like I said.
Yeah, exactly like you said. No need to bother with the editing.
You guys don't even need to rewind that. That's fact.
So at any rate, you know, we normally talk about the movie for a while, but I got to hit you up with a question right off the bat.
Oh, shit. All right.
What's your favorite Meatloaf performance in a movie to date?
Oh, well, I mean, the big two, I guess, would be these two that we just mentioned and also have done. I guess is Bob in Fight Club. I mean, it's less musical, but I feel like he has more screen time and is just more developed as a character.
And strangely, I mean, I have seen Meatloaf on Celebrity Apprentice, so I feel like I kind of know him. But I think he more or less nails these two parts of that we've seen him in for the character he's playing. He does a perfectly great job in both, considering.
Absolutely. Not to take away from his role in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
But I think I'm going to lean a little bit towards Eddie, just because he gets to showcase the singing a little bit.
And yeah, so for sure.
Well, that's all I had to say about the movie.
That's all. All right, well, that's our show, everyone.
No, really, this time around, watching, aside from the big musical numbers and aside from the overall goofy campiness, wonderfulness of it all, I really kind of had a front runner for someone who just really tickled me, that I enjoyed a lot in this particular go around, that because I haven't watched the movie for so long, wasn't even thinking about as a character. I normally just think of those who have like the big singing numbers, but I absolutely was cracked up by Magenta throughout the whole thing.
Magenta was great. especially the scene where she and Columbia are watching on the screen, like, all the goings on throughout the castle, and you know, Frank's little escapades with Janet and Brad, and like just sort of eavesdropping, I guess. Like, that whole bit, I think, was a lot of fun.
Yep, it's all about the delivery and the accent, and I guess that was what was passing for her version of a Transylvanian accent, a certain type of Transylvania. But hey.
Well, I mean, it's not Transylvania Earth. It's in a far off galaxy of transgender.
I mean, if you're being fair, transsexual, you're really into a time slip. So, you know, a spaced out on a sensation sort of thing. So you just, these things are a little bit different than what you probably are used to. But yeah, so it's cool. It definitely sounds like you enjoyed the experience again, though.
I did. It was, like I said, it was definitely different from, you know, watching it in that setting, in that group setting, and sort of having everyone around you and doing the squirt guns when it's raining and all that. But I was thinking about it, and like, it's 2020 now, and there's some things about this movie, and more specifically about that group experience, that just wouldn't hold up. And like, one really good example would be, you know, when Frank is going around, the bit that I just talked about, where Frank is going to the two rooms and seducing Brad and Janet, and you know, getting them to sleep with him. In the, at least in the theater settings that I've been in, when Janet gives in, everyone calls her slut. Like, the whole theater yells slut at Janet. And that's not something that I think would go over really well in 2020. Like, I feel like we're a little too woke for that. And
plus, who wants to be cramped into a small theater with tons of people breathing air?
And not wearing masks, and you're closer than 6 feet and all that.
I mean, I don't think I'm prepared to commit to ever going to a place where other human beings are again for a good 23 to 92 years. Just why risk it? And so, yeah, that's problematic too, just human beings in general. But yeah, you have a good point there. As all movies go, more or less, or at least anything that's particularly fun, edgy, or weird, there's always going to be things that surprisingly age well and other things that don't. So
unsurprisingly, yeah, don't.
Yeah, so for the most part, you know, I think it would still be a fun experience. Who wouldn't want to throw some toast around?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's way more good than bad. I think there's way more good than bad in the sort of experience that comes along with that. and you know, the sort of camaraderie and stuff like that. It really, it's a lot of fun. And when you have all these people around you who are sort of, they're all dressed like Transylvanians, or they're, you know, just there to have a good time, or even like the quote unquote virgins of Rocky Horror, that, you know, they show up and it's their first showing and they don't know what to do. And so you sort of take one under your wing, or you adopt, you know, the newbies or whatever. Like, that's that it's all just a lot of fun. And so that, I think, despite my aversion to being around human beings, even pre-COVID times, that's something I think I'll always look back fondly on, is, you know, going and doing these midnight showings.
Well, let's throw out, you know, relevant facts that might keep you from wanting to experience that with a big crowd and stuff again.
Oh, good.
And say, if you did have the opportunity, and this is not your average run-of-the-mill performance I'm talking about. I'm not saying just some cheeky little midnight showing where crazy things are happening. I'm talking about full wardrobe, full cast, full recreation, side by side, acting up on in front or the side stage or wherever at some theater. Who is Anthony going to be? Who do you want to be?
I knew this question was going to come up.
Because there's so many great answers. Like, there's, from the smallest to the main parts, there's so many great little one-offs, so much stuff going on. So it's like, there's so many reasons why I'd be okay with you picking, like, literally anyone in the cast, male or female. It's like, it's just so much fun.
So I've thought about this question for years, because I always thought it would be fun to, you know, do Rocky Horror on stage as part of the cast. I think I would probably shine the most as either Brad or as Riff Raff. Like, I think I would have the most the most fun with those roles. I could probably even do an Eddie, because, like, I do like to sing a little bit, but I think that at the core of it, it's a toss up between Riff Raff and Brad.
All right, we're gonna wait. We got to figure these things out. So I'm gonna need you to give me I need you to give me a hello, like Riff Raff.
Oh man, hello.
I think that was pretty good, but you also were giving off a little bit of some, like, Lurch vibes.
Yeah, well, I mean, we did just do Adam's Family, so, like, it's...
So that's good. So, okay, so that's good. That's good to know. I see what you're working with there. That's not bad. And then, of course, from Brad, I'm going to need a damn it, Janet.
Damn it, Janet, I love you.
Oh, you in the singing and all. Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, I don't know what key it was in, but I loved it. all right. Though, this is interesting. I was leaning Riff Raff at first in my head, and now I'm thinking, you know, you could pull off that really over-the-top, campy, I'm a Boy Scout, you know, kind of a thing there. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's why I have so much trouble deciding between the two. Like, which way would I really want to go? Like, if it came down to it, if I were offered both parts, which one would I want to take? And I don't know that I could really answer that.
Yeah, this is not the kind of movie that would encourage you to think about if you could go both ways or not. Like, it's not...
I would argue that it does encourage you to go both ways.
Interesting. So I guess you'd be double booked. You'd play both parts. You'd be very busy.
Be very strange wardrobe changing constantly.
Yeah.
Getting around the hump on the back, I think, would be the hardest part. There's a joke there somewhere.
Something to do with phrasing, I don't know. But...
who would you want to play? Like, if it came down to it, like, which part do you think you would have the most fun with?
There's only one answer for me, and that answer, despite all people who know me and all the fans and everybody who would just be pleading and begging for me to be Rocky, the right answer that I would have to do is I'd have to be Dr. Frankenfurter.
Of course.
I mean, I just would have to be. So here, let me.
I do want to hear your best Tim Curry.
Well, I want to give you a little prepared segment here to play and hear.
How do you do? See, you've met my faithful handyman. It's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the kind of man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
So, yeah, that's
that was brilliant.
Watching the movie again, I have a great appreciation for Tim Curry just in general because he's so out there and great. But in this movie, the amount of charisma he brings, he makes you believe in his outlandish character. And his whole, you know, pretty much his ability to seduce the entire cast, more or less, is like, you know what? All right. Yeah, he's pulling it off.
Oh, yeah. he's so good at that role. I mean, he's amazing in every role that he's in, but those
direct at camera views, you know, when he would just turn to the camera 3 or 4 times and just kind of stare and kind of get a little wink and go back to the song. It's mm-hmm. like, When you're hamming something up like that, it takes just a certain amount of drive and a certain amount of, like, you just got to be extremely confident, and it was just perfect. So, yeah, that's pretty great.
Well, and a lot of that shooting, I think, was very much sort of the era. Like, it's stuff that you would find in 1975, 1976, 77, 78. Like, that kind of sort of weird disorienting first person shot. Like, one good example is when Janet and Brad first come up to the lab, and they step off the elevator, and you're them, and you're looking around at the balcony and stuff like that. And it's sort of disorienting and first person and a little like off-putting a little bit. And then, like, the sort of wild camera angles in motion, like when Frank is chasing around Eddie or chasing around Rocky, and it's this sort of running camera, and everything's just sort of very wild and very out there in terms of the shooting. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think to test your theory on this, to see how relevant, you know, this movie was in, what was it, 75 or so when it came out? To like look at that mid-70s horror vibe, does it fit in? Are we getting the right vibe? I almost feel like we should maybe contemplate taking another like horror movie from the 70s and just kind of do a little compare contrast. Obviously, you know, we're not looking for another spoof, you know, not another satire.
No, something a bit thing. More serious for sure.
Yeah, we'll have to think about that.
I have a feeling I know what you have in mind, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see you next week. Stay tuned, folks. But no, like, if you look at movies like A Clockwork Orange, like, there are a lot of similarities, not in the content, obviously, but in the shooting style and the cinematography between this and A Clockwork Orange. Like, you could almost say it was shot by the same, like, director of cinematography. Like, they have a ton of similarities.
It's interesting because, I mean, I can see that, and I can kind of agree a bit too. A lot of other movies I might think of like that are larger in scale, where there were actually times watching this where I felt like we were watching a stage production.
Yes.
That it was like built to be a musical, you know, like not musical theater, not a horror movie, not anything. And this definitely wasn't like high budget adaptation of a popular movie or any. I mean, it felt like we were watching, you know, just something that was recorded on stage, but maybe with some slightly larger sets, just barely.
Yeah.
No, two levels.
There's shots that don't line up with that, like the, you know, the wedding shot where they're standing outside the church, but for the most part, yeah, like this very much feels like a stage production of a musical, which I think was the intent.
Yeah, I would think so. I'd have to think so, just because of the way everything was staged and the way the performances went off. Like, it really felt. There were moments when they even played up the blocking and who was coming in from one scene and going out to another, and like the way they did, like the scenes again where he's like seducing, you know, Janet and
Brad.
Damn it. But like where, you know, behind the curtains, you know, and part of that was just for the fun reveal of, you know, his master of illusion style of seduction was, you know, kind of funny. But like the back and forths, you know, when they're confronting each other later, and it's just like all of these things played up are very much just in that almost musical theater style, that fun kind of back and forth, making use of small spaces and shot, you know, instead of this where it's shot to each person's reaction, but that everybody's in the same place and it just. The you know, all the dialogue bounces around to each other. It's a lot of fun.
Well, and then you even get a meta version of that, right? Like toward the end, we get they've now taken the statues, the Medusa statues, onto the stage, and so it becomes a stage show on your screen, essentially.
Yeah, it does, and sadly, that is also where it kind of grinds to a halt.
it gets pretty weird.
Which again. Is, you know, they could be like, yeah, we know, but we did it on purpose because that's what happens, you know, and it's like you can't even argue.
No, you can't.
Okay,
like it's fine. Like I have no problem with it. I still enjoyed it, and you know, I'll freely admit there were times during that final, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes where, yeah, I did glance at my phone because I knew what was happening and like what I was about to see anyway, and I'm just sort of waiting for the climax of it, but also like.
The wallpaper on your phone from Rocky Horror, and you just kind of wanted to keep going back and forth, seeing if it was, you know, accurate.
Right. Yeah. Like Tim Curry's leg up and all that stuff.
Yeah.
No. Like it just it just slows down, like you said. Like it gets pretty.
Dr. Scott.
It gets pretty pretty almost sleepy, in a sense, but. Anyhow.
Then again, that could just be me, because I've been sleepy for weeks.
So I will ask you, because one of the tenets that we started this whole podcast on was, does this still hold up? Is this movie still good? What do you think, mm-hmm. John? Does this still hold up 45 years later? Jesus.
Yeah, for a movie that came out when I was, like, born, roughly. Oh, wait, no, that can't be possible. I meant for a movie that came out, like, 25 years before I was born.
Sure, there we go. Nice save.
Oh, man, I feel so much better now. I'm lucky. He's lucky. We're all lucky. I honestly think this holds up better. It improves. Not because of technology, not because of relevance within culture, but because I now can enjoy what we're being presented with more fully than I could when I was much younger. So, like, I think I said the last time I watched this was in college, but the first time I watched this was in high school, and I watched it alone at home on VHS. Renting it because I think probably my sister was talking about it or she'd seen it with friends and everybody was talking about how cool and how fun and all these things. And I watched it and I just thought, this is like the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And it was a challenge to watch it. I felt like betrayed almost, and I just was like, this is the worst thing ever. And that's why I never wanted to go and see it with any groups of people, because I just had that bad first experience, and I'm like, it's so dumb, it's not worth it, because I didn't know better. And now a couple of years later, watching it, it everything about it, from, you know, the music to the stylization and the over-the-top performances and things, is just, it's hilarious to me. I'm thoroughly transfixed by, you know, 90% of the performances. I just really am into, I mean, it's flat out ridiculous, but now I love it. I'm not trying to make it something it's not. I'm not looking for continuity. I'm not looking for a perfect story. I'm just looking to be entertained. And it's entertaining. If nothing else, it's incredibly entertaining. And so, you know, as the years have gone by, you know, we watched the movie. I didn't know if I'd still actually enjoy the movie, if I'd be like, ah, it was horrible. I like some of the songs, but the movie's not worth it. But no, the movie itself, it stands up too. It's still fun. It's still a great time. And if anything, I catch smaller details than I used to. I'm more in tune with the tiny bits of things. And like, I didn't even, and because it's just me and it's been so long, but I didn't realize that in the opening wedding scene that you have Dr. Frankenfurter and Riff Raff and like, I think it was Columbia, whoever at the wedding, but like in the background. Like, I didn't make that connection because I wasn't even looking for
and,
it.
And not, at, not obviously not as themselves, like, not,
right,
not,
as
certainly, you know, not dressed up the way and, that you would picture them.
So, but they started that American Gothic look, then carried it through to the picture on the wall, and they carried it through to the big finale on stage when they come back as their Transylvanian space elves or whatever.
That, almost like a bit of a Wizard of Oz kind of thing, where characters like in Kansas also play characters in Oz.
Yeah, and so it's twisted in all the right ways. So yeah, I mean, what do you think overall?
I still love it. Like this movie, I think it stands the test of time. Obviously, there's some stuff that, you know, like I said, woke culture would okay, I'll say this. You couldn't make this movie today exactly as it is without being strung up as a heretic by, you know, the Gen Z kids. And,
well, it's interesting because they did just make a recreation of this movie, which I have not seen.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah, Laverne Cox, I believe, was Dr. Frankenfurter.
Really? Oh, that would be amazing. I have to watch that.
You would
now
think so. Yeah, like, I mean, I resisted being interested enough to watch it, but now after seeing this and just talking about it, I kind of wonder. Let's see, it was a little while ago. It was 2016. I thought it was just like last year.
I mean, I definitely want to see if it, like, if it pays homage to, or if it tries to rip off or what, but like,
I mean, I got a solid 28% on Rotten Tomatoes. You can't argue with that, right?
Oh dear. Well, I'll still watch it, if for no other reason than to shit all over it. But I am interested to see like how it compares. But my point is shot for shot, I don't know that you could make this again without sort of coming under fire and you know, being labeled as toxic or transphobic or whatever. And like, and obviously there's some bits and pieces, like, you know, people talk about pronouns and things like that, which is, you know, it's super important to make sure you're using the right pronouns. But I think that on the whole, this still holds up pretty well. Like, it's still brilliantly performed. It's still absolutely delightful to enjoy. And even like my friends within the LGBT community that are our age, like, look back on this as a sort of anchor point for them. Like, this was something that they were able to latch onto and feel like they were normal and accepted, and like, that's really cool. But like, on the same token, for those of us who didn't have that experience, it's still just something that's really enjoyable to watch and to see and to hear and like just really dig into. Like, it's a lot of fun. This movie, this play, is a lot of fucking fun. And I still it love is. It as much and as I did back when I would go to the shows, you know, 20 years ago.
Well, let's take a step back to this 2016 version, because there's one or two points I got to make. I just watched it. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't just watch it.
Did you use a time warp?
I used a time warp again, which is the subtitle. Rocky Horror Picture Show, Let's Do the Time Warp Again.
Okay.
A 2016 TV movie, so they really put the budget behind it. One thing I like, the criminologist who is the, you know, the guy walking us through, the narrator person,
is Tim Curry.
So that at least that gets like a thumbs up. And I do like the choice of Adam Lambert playing Eddie. I think that's great, and I imagine it might be good. I don't know. Most of the people on here I know, like I've heard of or I've seen in one or two things.
Christina Milian.
Yeah, Victoria Justice and Laverne Cox. And like I know these, even Emily Ashford.
I feel like Emily Ashford is someone I should know.
Ben Vereen, who I don't think he's alive anymore, but obviously he was then.
Ben Vereen is still alive.
I don't know anything. I was wrong earlier about Wayne's World. No, I wasn't. I don't know what just happened there.
I was telling you to be quiet about being obviously very wrong about Wayne's World.
Oh, thanks.
Because you said Wayne's World 2 and I said the first one.
Yeah, I probably meant Wayne's World also.
Yeah, that must be it. Great save.
Speaking of great saves... Reeve Kearney, that's where I know him from. He was in a great show. It's so great. I can't remember the name of. It was on Showtime.
Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, Penny Dreadful. He was great in that. And he plays Riffraff.
He played Dorian Gray.
Yeah. So it's not... The cast isn't the reason right off the bat that makes me hesitate, but... I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to need you to be the canary in the coal mine on this one and let me know if it's even worth enduring.
Is it even playing anywhere?
Good question. TV movie. I don't know if you can even watch that. Can you even rent it anywhere?
I'm going to find out. Hold on.
Ooh.
This is important stuff here, folks. Rocky Horror. Nope, not Iyaki Horror. What the fuck does that mean? Don't drink and type, kids. The Rocky Horror Picture. Oh, it's on Hulu also.
Oh, the other one is.
Yeah.
I'd say interesting, but I don't know if I mean interesting.
Oh, we should do Little Shop of Horrors soon, too.
We've done too much horror. Too many shops.
Too many shops, too much horror.
Too little.
Too many shows and pictures.
So anyway.
Not enough Rocky.
Back to Rocky. That scene where he's punching the meat in the cooler. And then that moment when
there.
Dolph Lundgren is like, I will break you. And you're just like, oh, that's, man, I can't believe. Actually, Dolph Lundgren in like 1980, whatever, 86 maybe, when did Rocky IV come out? Like that Dolph Lundgren as Rocky Horror would work.
Oh, absolutely.
So I did that. Look at that. I accidentally dreamcasted.
I fucking love that drop.
I was just
trying to break up that gap.
Though. I was trying to preempt and give a live version to the audience so they didn't have to hear the old studio version. Here's the problem. One of the problems with them just doing a 2016 version is that it kind of takes the wind out of my sails for like wanting to like really think about recasting this now. Because
the biggest role to recast is Dr. Frankenfurter, and they did it.
Yeah.
Like, who do you get besides Laverne Cox?
Probably like Brett Favre. I mean, it's just one suggestion we could see. See, yeah, they stole my mojo. I can't come up with anything. So. I'm not going to even try.
Do I have anything else here? I don't. Do you have anything else?
Surprisingly not. I feel like so much of the experience, like I keep saying it, is just the songs, the music, the movie. And I still feel fine every once in a while going on a little Rocky Horror Picture Show side voyage on Spotify, or, you know, if we ever get back to a world that allows for things like karaoke, you know, going out and just performing, because these songs, they're meant to be performed. They're meant to be hammed up. These are not Oscar or opera songs. These are, or you know, Oscar winning songs. These are just like crazy, fun, wild songs. And I'm all for it. That's the kind of fun we human beings need.
Yeah. And like, you could probably say the same for any, I guess, any of those fun musicals. Like, obviously, there's musicals that are intended to be serious, and they have they have beloved songs, but at the end of the day, it's not like a sing-along kind of thing. It's, you know, sit and take in the theater of it. There are other musicals like Rocky Horror where it's, you know, it's a group thing, and it's a sing along, and it's a, you know, let's all be part of the show. And that's the probably one of the biggest things that I think, you know, one of the biggest things, but one thing that people can say that they're missing from 2020 and being sort of stuck, you know, quarantined or at least distanced from one another, is we don't get those nice big group experiences like we've had for 100 years. Yeah. Since the Spanish flu. Like, it's something, it's one of those camaraderie things that we're missing. And so I say all that to say that when we can all get together again and be, you know, in that group setting and not have to worry about distancing and not have to worry about COVID, go out and support these sorts of things. Support your local cinemas and your local theaters, your local theater groups. Like, there are so many small theater troupes that I think we all kind of take for granted. Or have taken for granted for years now, like your small local, like down the street from me actually is a small theater in here in Utah, where they put on, you know, they'll do a month long run of a play, and it's nobody you've ever heard of. It's nobody sure. who necessarily has the aspirations to get onto Broadway. They just do it for the love of, you know, being part of the theater. And so you're going and you're supporting this venue and these people, and go out and do that when we can again. Yeah. Like, let's go out and let's see some plays and let's see some shows and let's have some fun and get together.
That's acceptable. But then people will stop listening to our podcast.
Well,
because they'll be like, "This not that good." It never
shit. I was going to argue that you're wrong, but the numbers don't lie.
Speaking of numbers,
our numbers went up exponentially after COVID. So I'm going to say, "Go COVID, go!"
Wow, that's a controversial take, but I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm prepared not to give my review of 2016's Rocky Horror Picture Show, Let's Do the Time Warp Again. I'm going to give it a 4.5. I didn't like it. I thought it didn't hit. They were trying too hard to duplicate what happened before and couldn't capture the magic. That's off the top of my head without seeing it, without reading or hearing anything about it, other than realizing it's gotten not great marks. But what I will tell you, you're a Buffy fan, right? TV series Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I like Buffy. I'm not like a diehard or anything like that.
God, that means you're worthless.
How fucking dare you?
I'm just saying, if you're going to qualify, that means you've probably not even seen it all.
No, I haven't.
You haven't. Because if you have,
I haven't even watched Angel. So how about that?
God, so you're worthless. So for those who are listening, who are both,
there are other Joss Whedon properties that I thoroughly enjoy.
Hey, quiet you! I'm talking to the Buffy fans now. If you're a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan, you should look up on YouTube. There was a, like a, I don't know, it was some live performance like a Rocky Horror tribute show, and it had like Anthony Stewart Head, who was Rupert Giles, on the show. It had Amber Benson, who was Tara, on the show. So it had some cool Buffy alumni in this, and so that was a lot of fun. And actually,
that sounds like a lot of fun.
Anthony Stewart Head was pretty good as Dr. Frankenfurter. So
of course he played.
So yeah, so that was fun. You should check that out just for fun, and then if you do subject yourself to the 2016 TV show Rocky Horror Picture Show, let's do the time warp again. You definitely have to write us on like on Facebook or something, or email us. Just let us know, because we need some reviews here before I'm willing to commit to it, and I'm not convinced Anthony's going to give a review that counts.
That's probably fair. Oh, you know what? I just thought, because you said Anthony Stewart Head as Dr. Frankenfurter, I did think of one recasting that would be pretty cool.
All right.
Dr. Frankenfurter, just the one, is off the top of my head, and it's kind of a cop-out because you'll understand why in a second. Paul Bettany.
Okay. Yes, but allow me to counter that with someone with a similar name who would be the worst casting for Dr. Frankenfurter, Paul Giamatti.
I just pictured it, and I have to say... You are incorrect. That would be a fantastic casting.
Okay, yeah. I accidentally did some great dream casting. For the comedy
of it alone, it would be amazing.
Damn it. Oh, I forgot. So while watching it, I did have... There was a scene where Dr. Frankenfurter was chasing Rocky around the catwalk or wherever that thing is. And another... We're going to keep plugging all these different franchises until we get... A good partnership. I'm only mentioning ones that are like gone now. But are you a fan of Flight of the Conchords?
I do like Flight of the Conchords.
Because I could see Jermaine and Brett playing Dr. Frankenfurter and Rocky. And Jermaine would be Dr. Frankenfurter and Brett would be Rocky. And I could see them kind of chasing each other around. And yeah.
Yes, 100%.
So I think that's all I got now. Got that out of my system.
Okay. Well, that's our show, everyone. Hey, real quick before we get into our usual kind of spiel, I did want to thank our now second sponsor, the JOE, Joe Prisco. Thank you so much for being our second ever monthly sponsor. If you want to sponsor us, open up your podcast app and go to the show description. All right. Down at the bottom, you will see the link. And you can click on that and you can sponsor us. You can be a donor to our show every month and help us kind of keep the lights on and make things better and more enjoyable. We can do some pretty cool stuff with that money. Anyhow, thank you for joining us each and every week as we distill another favorite from our past. We release new episodes every Monday, so come on and hang out with us. Next week is going to wrap up our shortened Halloween-themed month. We're going to do a slightly more serious film that I think you're going to really enjoy, as long as I... am getting what John was selling earlier without actually naming the film. And then we're going to get into, kind of the regular flow of the show and do some other stuff. Stick around for that. Other stuff.
You just gave the most vague closing to a show I've ever heard in my life.
I did.
And I love it. But let me tell you this. Let me just tell you drinking. This. There's not a lot... You know, if we're going to be talking about the JOE for a little bit here, there's not a lot he's going to profess himself as being an expert on. He's got music, he's got football, and a couple other things. But he knows podcasts. You can trust me on that. This guy knows podcasts, and he ranks us as one of the best ever. So I have to agree with him on that. And as the JOE would say, I almost mispronounced his name. How weird is that?
It's just letters. You're just saying letters, and you mispronounced it.
I never got that. I thought it was just maybe Scandinavian or something. Joey. But he would also co-sponsor this message, which is letting you all know that the music in our podcast does not come from Eddie or Meatloaf.
It comes from the JOE.
Or even the JOE. It comes from Semaphore. The song we use is destroying the evidence, but it's also destroying the evidence if you want to put in all the consonants. But they've got a lot of great music library that you want to check out because they're just awesome. And then, as I was saying earlier, if you're going to watch, subject yourself to the 2016 Rocky Horror Picture Show : Let's Do the Time Warp Again TV movie, we absolutely need to hear about it. So you got to get in contact with us, and you can do that by writing us at thememorydistillery@gmail.com. Just go on Facebook, look for The Memory Distillery, or tweet us at TeamDPod. Really, we want to hear more from you. We're doing all these holiday films, genre films, but, you know, pretty soon we're going to work through what you might be expecting come, you know, Christmas range. And then we got a whole blank slate in front of us. So we need some great ideas for you guys on series that we should jump into, classic movies, things that we probably never would have thought about before. We get a lot of great ideas from our listeners, so we're hoping you guys step up in that regard. But from the Palace Theater in Liverpool, Wisconsin, this has been John Dent.
And I am Dr. Frank N. Furter, and this has been The Memory Distillery. Let's do the time warp again.
American soybeans? What? Another one of my favorite movie quotes that doesn't exist. Butter up that hot dog, folks. It's time for a long jog.
What the fuck is that from?
I'm just trying to come up with totally made up quotes that sound like they're from a movie. It's funny. You should try it. Go.
It would
go. Go.
That's my dog.
That was horrible. And every metric possible. Let me give you another example. Ready? And folks, when it's time to pick up a tennis ball, you'll know when. Okay, go. You. One more. Go.
Motorboat? That's a car. Oh, man. That was terrible.
But it was enjoyable listening to you fail. This is the kind of content that our people need. Our listeners need this.
Oh.
I'll just do one more quote from my favorite Donald Sutherland movie. You all have to look it up to figure where it's from. Like her, I barely know the Statue of Liberty, and I've been to France. Okay, yeah, that was the worst one to end on. But... you know,
draw the curtain. I spilled some chips.
Is my deathly silence indicating I wasn't amused? Because I think we've just fell apart here. We hit our stride in the middle.
Because I saw the curtain in front of me, and I saw chips here.
That's what it was. That's why it didn't work. Is it wasn't really spontaneous. You were just putting words together. That's not the point. You got to dig deep in the soul.